place where you can get it all trending.
People are dropping on their vehicle and running, leaving their vehicle.
A place where you can air your views.
I want to report your destruction.
Only on your number one station for talk.
This is not the way. We cannot continue.
95.1 Nigeria Info. Abuja. Let's talk.
A pleasant morning to you from the news desk of 95.1 Nigeria Info. This is Major News Bulletin for 7 a.m. First, a look at our major stories. UK removes Nigeria, 10 other African countries from red list. President Buhari pledges to support ECOWAS Parliament on direct elections. Senate amends rules, approves simple majority for electing presiding officers. And U.S. surpasses 800,000 COVID deaths. The details of these and much more coming up shortly.
And now, this is the news.
The news.
The news.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Your health is priceless. Maintain high personal and environmental hygiene. Now the news in detail. The UK has removed all 11 African countries from its red list, effective from today, Wednesday. The ban has severely restricted travel between those countries and the UK. The restrictions were first imposed last month in order to slow the spread of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Some critics had described the measure as racist, as only African countries appeared on the red list. Initially, they were all in southern Africa, including South Africa and Botswana, where Omicron was first identified, but Nigeria was later added. President Muhammadu Buhari says Nigeria will fulfill pledges made to the ECOWAS Parliament and to the sub-regional body at large. The Nigerian leader made the pledge on Tuesday at the State House Abuja while receiving a team from ECOWAS Parliament led by the Speaker, Dr. Sidi Mohammed Tunis. He commended the parliament for agreeing to electing its officials rather than being appointed. President Buhari expressed delight that the construction of the ECOWAS Parliament building in Abuja is in partnership with the Minister of the Federal Capital Territory. In his remarks, Speaker of the ECOWAS Parliament, Dr. Sidi Mohammed Tunis, expressed sympathy to the government and the people of Nigeria on the recent losses from terror attacks, saying Nigeria was resilient to defeat the terrorists. He said the vision is to have ECOWAS Parliament building in Abuja completed before May 2023 so that President Buhari would commission it before leaving office. And in the National Assembly, Senate has amended its standing rules 2015 and approved a simple majority for the election of presiding officers. It also retained a closed ballot system of voting for the election of the President of the Senate and the Deputy. The amendment of the rules followed the consideration of a motion pursuant to Order 111 of the Senate Standing Rule 2015, which was sponsored by Chairman of the Committee on Rules and Business, Senator Suleiman Sadiq, and the Vice Chairman, who is the Senate Leader, Yahya Abdullahi. But the President of the Senate, Ahmed Lawan, however, cautioned that an amendment in the direction of a two-third majority could be exploited to stall the inauguration and election of presiding officers. Lawmakers in the majority, who were swayed by Senate President's observation, accordingly voted in support of a simple majority for the election of presiding officers. Still in the Red Chamber, President Muhammadu Buhari is asking the Senate to confirm the nomination of Muazu Sambo as a minister. President Buhari's letter was read by the President of the Senate, Ahmed Lawan, on Tuesday's plenary in Abuja. Senator Lawan urged his colleagues to screen and confirm the nominee, who hails from Taraba State. When confirmed, Sambo replaces the former Minister of Power, Saleh Maman, who was sacked in September.
In accordance with Section 147, Subsection 2 of the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria 1999 as amended, I have the honor to forward for confirmation by the Senate the nomination of Muazu Jaji Sambo from Taraba State as Minister of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Copy of his CV is attached herewith.
President President Buhari also nominated 6 national commissioners and 1 resident electoral commissioner for the Independent National Electoral Commission.
As national commissioners and resident electoral commissioner for INEC, Mala Mohamed Haruna, Niger State, Mrs. May Agbamichembu, Delta State, Ukiagu Nnamdi, Abia State, Major General A.B. Alkali, retired Adamawa State, Professor Roda H. Gumus, Bayelsa State, Mr. Sam Olumekun, Ondo State, Olani Ijalaye, Ondo State, resident electoral commissioner.
He also nominated 5 commissioners for the National Population Commission, NPC, including Engineer Benedict Okong, Akwa Ibom State, Mrs. Gloria Zofor, Bayelsa, Barrister Patricia Kuchi, Benue, Dr. Bali Haliru, Kebi, and Dr. Iyatayo, Oyetunbi, Oyo State. To other matters, Governor Darius Ishaku is seeking federal government's assistance to further enhance the agricultural potentials in Taraba State. Announcing this to journalists in Abuja after a private meeting with President Muhammadu Buhari on Tuesday, Governor Ishaku said his administration needs assistance to remove dry season farming through irrigation and modern farm inputs. He said Taraba was rich in rice, cocoa, tea, coffee and palm oil production.
Told Mr. President that Taraba can supply the country with rice, which he knows very well because he knows Taraba absolutely well. So I'm seeking for more aid towards the farming of rice, particularly the dry season rice, where we get 3-4 times the yield of that one of a rainy season. And more people have been encouraged into this farming.
Governor Ishaku added that the visit was also to solicit the president's approval for the setting up of a naval base as well as police and immigration posts in Taraba to prevent further security breach like the recent invasion by Cameroonian bandits.
That's why I'm here, to see Mr. President, because he alone can give the order for us to strengthen our border there by bringing in security men along the border, putting some posts. Once we have that, I think we can secure that border. Incidentally, we have about the longest border with Cameroon, and so there is absolute need to secure it and strengthen it.
Also, the National State Governor, Abdullahi Sule, has expressed delight at the improved security situation across the state. Governor Sule told State House correspondents on Tuesday that he was at the villa to thank the president for the completion of the 330 kVA power station that has guaranteed stable power supply in Nasrawa, and also request for additional assistance to battle insecurity so that farmers can, in troubled localities, can farm unhindered.
We have been tagged as a state that is currently number one in sesame production, number two in yam production, number two in cassava production, and number five in rice production in the country. So these are very exciting moments for us. So now we came to specifically also express appreciation to Mr. President, especially in the area of power. The 330 MVA thermal line that is coming from Niger Delta, you know, has just been completed in Nasarawa State. So today, in Lafia in particular, we have 24 hours power supply.
Governor Sule used the forum to announce that the Nasarawa Airport will be ready in January 2022.
Right now, we have finished most parts of the airport. We have finished the fencing, we finished the fire station, we have imported the cabin. We have extended actually the parking space. We had finished the terminal, you know, so that airport will be commissioned by the grace of God in January.
And now the business news.
The House of Representatives on Tuesday approved President Muhammadu Buhari's loan request of $5.8 billion. The approval followed the adoption of the report by the House Committee on AIDS, Loans and Debt Management in Abuja. Presenting the report, the chairman of the committee, Honorable Ahmed Safana, said the loan was part of federal government's 2018-2020 external borrowing plan. He said the loan would be sourced from financial institutions like the World Bank, the Islamic Development Bank, China Exim Bank, Chinese Africa Development Fund, and International Fund for Agricultural Development. The House, while approving the request, asks that the terms and conditions of the loan from the funding agencies be forwarded to the National Assembly for proper scrutiny.
And now we bring you news from around the world.
News from around the world.
More than 800,000 Americans have now died from the coronavirus, the highest recorded national death toll from the global pandemic. It comes as the U.S. reached 50 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 on Monday. Most deaths have been recorded among the unvaccinated and the elderly, and more Americans died in 2021 than in 2020. The U.S. is again seeing deaths rising at an alarming rate. The latest 100,000 deaths came in just the past 11 weeks, a quicker pace than any at other points aside from the last winter surge.
Take it away with the entertainment news.
Grammy Award-winning Nigerian singers Burna Boy and Wizkid have finally released their much-anticipated single titled BD or Wizkid. Or DB. Wizkid had early this month made the announcement during his Made in Lagos tour, where he performed with Burna Boy at the O2 Arena, London. Earlier on Tuesday, the duo shared a snippet of the song as they posed with Ballon d'Or awards, which further fueled anticipation from their fans. Finally, letting the cat out of the bag, Burna Boy announced on Tuesday evening that the song has been released. Wizkid also shared Burna Boy's post on his Instagram story, his own way of announcing the new release. A video of the song has been shared on Burna Boy's official YouTube page.
And now, update on the sports news.
And finally, in sports, NBA Africa on Tuesday named Demisola Abudu as vice president and country head of Nigeria, where the league will open its third office on the continent in early 2022. Abudu, an accomplished entrepreneur, business leader, luxury marketing expert, and social activist with 17 years of experience developing businesses, brands, and human capital in Nigeria, the Middle East, and the U.S., will lead NBA Africa's new office in Lagos and report to NBA Africa CEO Victor Williams. In this newly created role, Abudu will be responsible for leading the league's basketball and business development initiatives in Nigeria, including grassroots programming for youth, the elite player development relations with current and prospective marketing, media and merchandise partners, and social responsibility efforts that improve the lives of youth and families in Nigeria. And that's a wrap for news at 7, but a quick look at our top stories. UK removes Nigeria, 10 other African countries from red list. President Buhari pledges to support ECOWAS Parliament on direct elections. Senate amends rules, approves simple majority for electing presiding officers. And U.S. surpasses 800,000 COVID deaths. And that's the news as edited by Abayomi Akimbola. Don't forget, you can always send us eyewitness report as news breaks in your area. Send your information to 090-3485-1885. Follow us on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Abuja, Facebook at Nigeria Info Abuja, or visit our website www.nigeriainfo.fm, or visit Google Play Store for our mobile app. Thank you for listening. I am Joy Eberebe.
Let's talk about the biggest conversations.
Made of trustworthy ideas.
Passionately connected
to everyone.
Let's talk.
Let's talk on the Nigeria Info
95.1 Abuja. Nothing breaks the news like the news. Trust me, I can prove it. I'm ready. Let's take on the biggest debates on radio, provide insight, experience, and build an unforgettable discussion together. I am Femi D. Amele.
And we're back to the Morning Crossfire on your number one news, talk, and sports station, Nigeria Info.
From your number one talk news and sports station, this is the Morning Crossfire
with Femi D Live.
Thank you so much for staying with us right here on Nigeria Info 95.1. There's so much to talk about. Yes, the headlines are out and quite a number of stories are of interest this very morning. If you missed out on them, let me walk you through a few of them. Our global pressure. First, UK to scrap red list. Yes, the red list that was created alongside Nigeria, alongside a few other countries was listed, but now that has now been redone or eliminated completely. That's among the headlines that we have. 38 trillion naira in debt. That's the set figure which where we find Nigeria at, finding itself at this time, according to the DMO office. The DSS is also warning about possible kidnapping during traveling, especially of lawmakers. They provided a briefing about that yesterday. The DSS has also provided a briefing with regards to the treatment of Nnamdi Kanu at this time. So that also makes the news in its right as well. There's also more talk with regards to headlines that coming out with regards to issues of Tinubu running for office, possibly running for office, and response with regards to that. He says he will let people know appropriately when he will do so. Federal government names terrorists, financiers, and sympathizers. That's also in the news. Buhari replaces minister, assures ECOWAS for better representation. That is also in the news as well. Stakeholders take stock of HIV self-testing campaign effort that also made it into the news for today. So, let's get more people talking now. And other headlines as we have it. OPS raises alarm as Nigeria debt hits 38 trillion naira. UK removes Nigeria, South Africa, nine others from red list. New finance bill, federal government proposes 5 years jail term. Yeah, from tax evasion, I presume. That's also them. I won't turn down calls to run for president in 2023, says Tinubu. That's also in the news. Bauchi speaker pledges more support to students. Okay? NMA raises the alarm over assault on doctors in Niger State. Let's take your calls. Let's take your views and your perspectives in this very morning. This is Morning Crossfire. Welcome back to the show today.
Crossfire with Femi D Live 0700951 0000.
That's the telephone number. That's 0700951 0000. You can also write it on WhatsApp on 0809993013 just to get your calls in and your views with regards to this. Okay, taking on those calls right away. Who joins us via the telephone line? Good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Yes, welcome.
My name is St. Raphael from Gwagwalada.
Welcome, St. Raphael.
Federal government named sympathizer of terrorists. Am I right?
Yes, that's according to the NSA.
The one United Arab, or what do you call it, UAE, the one they brought to Nigeria, how far have they gone with it? Are we going to continue like this? They are not taking it serious. Debt, Nigeria debt is 38 trillion. And I read yesterday again of another signing of in the National Assembly, 2 trillion naira again. So by the time you add that 2 trillion, it gives you 40 trillion.
Well, it doesn't work that way. They have to explain to us if it's already, the 33 trillion is already a composite of that or they're about to get that, okay? So it, the math is not just as plain as it sounds. You never can tell what that's
Mr.
coming
Femi
out
G.
from.
Yes, I'm okay. At times when you are trying to defend this government,
No, my brother, don't do that.
You so much.
Don't do that. I'm telling you carefully. Okay, so hold on for a moment. So okay, so the 2 trillion naira you're talking about that you said, how are you sure is already part of the 30 trillion naira? That's what I'm asking you.
It is not. They just signed it yesterday now.
So that's what I'm saying. coming to you, do you know if it's already part of what the DMO calculated and said 38 trillion naira? That's the point I'm making to you.
Because I went through it.
You went through it. So you have you gone through the 38 trillion naira calculation as well?
Yes, I've gone through the 38 trillion.
And this one you're talking about is already there.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Hold on for a moment. No. Please, hold on for a moment. What I want you to understand is this. I am not against people having their opinion. I'm not against people saying, I'm not even interested in defending the government. That's not my responsibility. They do a lot of work for themselves already with regard to that. All I want you to be able to do is to analyze and use facts the best way you can. Okay? Don't forget that you're not just talking to me. You're talking to millions of people. So if you mislead people, it's my responsibility to you to say to you.
Okay.
It's my responsibility to get you on point.
Now,
yeah.
Can we point out 1 to 3 life projects that this money they use it for, and they can generate money from it for the past 6 years?
That's what they've been saying themselves. I don't have to even stipulate. If that is not working out, if that is wrong by the standard, I'm not saying that all their projects have been on point. No, you're getting it wrong. Trust me. I do know that a lot of things are not as it's supposed to be. That is not something you can shy away from. No. I'm not here to stipulate or to defend. There are people they pay for that. I'm just saying to you, if you're saying this is what there is, you should be able to provide us proof that, oh, you went through the calculation and this is what it is. So it's not about defending this. Please approach the conversations objectively to allow us all to be able to listen and benefit from you mainly, okay? That's all I'm saying to you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. People have to understand that there's a difference between if I were doing a calculation and I say, 38 trillion naira, what is inside that 38 trillion naira? Is it something that already exists? Is it a projection? Is it just an addition? Because if we take everything literally and say this belongs to this without following through with the breakdown of what the 38 trillion naira is, I'm not saying they don't own money. I'm not saying that money is even something one could easily imagine. But let's be circumspect as we analyze, okay? As much as we can. Oh, two of us have spent so much time talking with regards to this. All right. Well, that makes up something of interest as well, just to consider over and over again to understand how things are. By the way, port infrastructure may deny Nigeria FCTA benefits. That's according to some of the things they're saying right now, just to have a clear understanding of how things are, and then follow through with other issues as well. Okay, so this is Morning Crossfire. I have to continue in a short while from now. Stay with us, okay? Right here. Let me sneak in a call. Good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Family, good morning this morning.
Yes, welcome. Let's hear you very quickly, please.
All right, my name is Emmanuel Ocharifu. I'm the freedom wheeler from the city of Talakasi, Maraba.
All right,
please,
welcome.
Federal government, I have named the sympathizers of bandits. That is a welcome development. But I know it's a month back now. There is one, they say, is a sympathizer of bandits. Right inside the government, his name starts from P. Have they also named him also? Thank you.
All right. Okay, that's a question, noble question to ask. All right, well, it sympathizes with terrorists. I do not know what that list looks like, but you're obviously right that people will be named, and I wonder what that's... I don't know whether it's just forgiveness that counts in this situation, if that's all that there is to do with it. To say, oh, I'm sorry, and that's fine. No, it gives you reason to be concerned. You're absolutely right. Okay. All right. Good morning. Okay, somebody said we should be careful with what callers say about their opinion. Let's understand the headlines away from their opinions so that we don't get it all confused. That's what he's saying on. All right, stay with me. After the break, we'll talk more right here on Nigeria Info.
The Current Affairs Show provides a new scope to the details of politics.
Actually participated in the governorship election.
Roll out the vaccination in 4 days.
Let's stay away from the sides of the story and go deeper together. Let's talk weekdays at 8 a.m.
on 95.1 Nigeria Info Abuja. Let's talk.
The Current Affairs Show.
Live on 95.1 with Femi D Live, Nigeria Info, Abuja. Let's talk.
Let's keep up with your thoughts now this very morning. It's 7:36 a.m. Nigeria Info, right here on Morning Crossfire. A very simple question. If you're laying claim on certain things, you should be able to also prove them, right? That's the point. This is not a dumping ground where we would mislead people with regards to things. So for all the people who have sent in messages with all kinds of abuses on WhatsApp, congratulations to you. I see them and I really have listened, but things need to be done properly. Nobody should come and make something what it is not. Okay. Right. Let's keep up with some of the few things I said I was going to share with you on the lead. Bola Ahmed Tinubu says he's interested. Or wait, not so sure if he's interested. He would consider it. Here's how he put up the perspective with regards to this. Should he consider running? Would you accept him? Well, here's what he has said, being the latest. After receiving a delegation from another delegation who went to see him and to ask him about his intentions and possibly get him to run. Here's what he said.
Effectively and widely consult, particularly brainstorm with my friends, and find a way to come out, find a date to come out openly and tell Nigerians. But the president is still in office. I don't want to distract him from all the challenges that he might face today. So don't muddle the political water. Consult. Make our program known to the people later.
The main reason is to let him know that there are people that are working for him, and we are convinced everywhere in the northern part of this country they are ready to receive him. And we are working not only within the northern region, but we are working throughout Nigeria. My intention is to make sure we take him on all what we want him to be around, and to make sure that he win the election when the time comes.
This is Morning Crossfire.
There you go. The response from Bola Ahmed Tinubu, former governor of Lagos State, and yes, an APC chieftain, with regards to considering running. He will let Nigerians know when it's time. And yes, it also says that it's not exactly a good time to be talking about whether running or not, as it may destabilize the day-to-day dealings of President Muhammadu Buhari, who is currently the president of the country. Well, that's the way he puts it with regards to things going on. In the meantime, just to say this, quite a number of governors have been meeting with the president, that's the northern governors, meeting with the president to weigh in into the many issues that they have found upsetting in their various states of the federation. They really think things can be done differently. They say they have received assurances that things will be done differently. Having met with the president, one of the few people that did meet with the president was Katsina State Governor, Governor Masari. He provided perspective with regards to what was talked about and how he's confident things will go differently going forward.
I think if we are talking about the issue of banditry, certainly we have seen some improvement. When we had a comparative analysis before the issuance of the containment, security containment order, what we saw in 3 months when we compared, we saw a drastic drop of over 100% in terms of the rates of kidnappings, killings, and associated crimes with banditry. So the incidents we had last week had nothing to do with banditry attack. It was purely an assassination by unknown killers, which the police and other security agencies are working around the clock to unravel what had happened, because he was killed my commissioner was killed by an unknown assassin, and not a single pin was stolen in his house. So you could see that this was a pure crime that has to be investigated for us to know the root causes and why and who. Thank you.
Can you say normalcy is returning to Kotela?
No, we cannot say normalcy has returned, but certainly there's improvement.
What do you attribute that?
Well, I think combined efforts of the security containment order and the efforts of the security forces to go after informants in particular, and also to go after the bandits hideout, and even 2 days ago they had an operation of clearance, which I think is proving very successful. And I think what is most important for us to succeed is for all the states, especially in Northwestern state, to take the pain and work together to make sure that we block all the loopholes.
This is Morning Call Fire.
There you have it. Governor Massey is speaking with regards to, well, having visited the president, what to expect in Katsina State. Things are better. He says it is better compared to how it was before. At least that's his point of view with regards to that. And that says a lot about what to expect in days to come. However, well, Governor Sokoto the state now, Amina Jambua, also did visit the president, and he described a situation where there's a need to smoke out the terrorists as we have them so far. And he believes some of those terrorists are unknown gunmen, bandits, kidnappers, and all the classic names that go or comes with them. Some of them did move from Zamfara State into his state. But he expresses his opinion having met with the president.
As you are aware, in Sokoto State, particularly on Monday, the 6th of December, we had a very terrible incident where we lost 23 of our citizens to bandit and banditry attack, which was carried out on them as travelers in a bus, and whereby all of them were burnt down. Of course, a number of them from the bus, 32 of them, some of them survived and escaped, but 23 got burnt alive. So and the situation in the state is really getting more worrisome, and that's why I sought for and was granted audience by Mr. President to come and further brief him. Of course, following the visit of the NSA, IGP and the rest of them, I know that they have briefed him, but I felt compelled by the situation to come and further give him more briefing on the situation at hand, and so that we can go get more support of Mr. President in terms of redeployment of more personnel, more equipment to the area that is being affected by the general insecurity in the state.
So what are you taking away from here, having met the president? What can you assure the people of Sokoto after this meeting?
I, from what I've seen and the engagement I've had with Mr. President, I can see that more in terms of engagement, in terms of strategy, is going to come up. And part of what I really suggested to Mr. President is for him to consider taking the advantage of the constitutional provision to declare a state of emergency in some of these areas that we have all of these bandits in Zamfara, in parts of Zamfara, parts of Katsina, parts of Sokoto, parts of Niger, Kaduna and Kebbi, those areas where we have them. Since now that the court has declared them as terrorists, we should take a step further by declaring a state of emergency in those areas so that the military can actually carry out proper and effective and well-coordinated military operation with the backing of the law, which is very important, because of course you know that there is this feeling that they may be worried about charges of human rights abuse if they go without being armed by such provisions of the law. So I've really requested Mr. President to look into that possibility of declaring a state of emergency in those areas so that effectively the military operations can really take place.
This is Morning Crossfire.
did you pick up on that state of emergency in part of some of the key states in the north? Would that possibly help the army to engage a little bit differently from the way they have? Because of course there are civilians as well in some of those areas, and how they engage and what comes out, it's either you're saying, oh, there are casualties, victims, or collateral damage. But even at that, there's a very thin line between that and human rights abuse. So they have to wade in and navigate through those difficult waters. Can the army get such law backing their expertise and their experience and the need to have that going on? Well, that is of interest. Okay. Let me spend the next 5 minutes as well to share with you what the Department of State Security have said with regards to quite a number of things across the state of the nation. I'll play some when we get into the 8 o'clock hour. First of all, the DSSC saying that the National Assembly members and quite a number of politicians are targets of kidnapping and assassination. Take a listen to the briefing provided by the DSS just yesterday, and I'll share with you some other things as well. Take a listen to what he said.
This press briefing is to partner with you to inform the public to be mindful of groups and individuals desirous of causing a breakdown of law and order in the country. This is more so that the service has observed that some persons who are desperately seeking for power use wrong and skewed narratives to not only mislead citizens but overheat the polity. Already, they are exploiting and the politicizing the issue of insecurity in parts of the country for pecuniary and other selfish reasons. Many simply want to use the situation to cause divisions among citizens, seek cheap popularity, and or present the country as ungovernable. The service therefore wants that those who are involved in these should desist from such destabilizing acts. It also enjoins politicians to play by the rule and avoid statements or activities capable of inflaming the fires of division and violence prior to 2023 elections. Opinion holders like the clergy, religious and traditional rulers are also to guard their utterances and avoid inciting pronouncements. In a related development, it is common knowledge that criminal elements will heighten their inglorious activities before, during, and after the festive periods. Therefore, religious and community leaders, hoteliers, and operators of markets, parks, recreational and relaxation centers are to be at alert and watch strange movements and activities around their facilities. Such facilities include places of worship, palaces, markets, schools, and other public buildings. Owners and operators of these public spaces and their patrons should endeavor to isolate and report suspected rogues to security agencies for prompt response. Consequently, the service's interactive website and complaint lines will remain active and available to the public. Information at the state and local government levels will be open 24 hours of the day. This is in line with the service's commitment and support to the populace. As schools vacate and students return home for holidays, there is likelihood that some subversive gangs will target them for recruitment for undesirable interns. These may include but not limited to financial crimes, armed robbery, civil disobedience and lawful and violent protests, substance abuse, banditry and kidnapping. In this respect, parents and guardians are advised to be watchful of their children and works and ensure that they do not engage in unlawful acts. Assigned students, recessed members of National Assembly and the State Houses of Assembly and other private and public sector workers on vacation may be predisposed to threats of various degrees. This also applies to Nigerians who may travel from within and outside the country to join their loved ones for the celebrations.
This is Morning Crossfire.
Well, there you have it. The DSS saying, well, things are not exactly as easy as it may appear. There's even more reasons to be concerned about these festive seasons and the things that could possibly happen. Remember, the Inspector General of Police provided a similar briefing, and also the CDS also mentioned something of such nature about possible increase in attacks. Oh, dear Lord, I just really wonder where things are. Let me read some of your messages in the next few minutes. Why is the DSS warning those identified as terrorists and promoters and sponsors by NSA instead of launching surprise attacks on them? That's the question OBG is asking this very morning. Good morning from the Gershon Neston. These northern elders that went to Tinubu, former governor of Lagos State, for him to run for president come 2023, are they just deceiving him to get money from Tinubu? That's the question you go on to ask. And then reading this other message now, from the Bola Tinubu is the wrong man for the job. That's one opinion. Okay, so good evening, guys. I think this might be maybe even the morning. Okay, I won't waste my time supporting someone who knows he cannot deliver. Barnabas Aoteh from Baradas Estate in Life Camp said that this very morning. Good morning from the Tinubu won't turn down call to run for presidency in 2023. Tinubu is a great political mentor and godfather, but you should know that the era of political godfatherism is over because of the damages it brings to us in the country. If APC wants to put their party in total extinction, they should give their tickets to Tinubu, but they want to clean their mess or correct their errors. VP Yemi Osinbajo is the only qualified candidate that Nigerians would vouch for come 2023. Anything outside of this is just nothing for APC, but Tinubu can loan Nigerians his bullion van ahead of the election. That's Coach Sylvester from Galadimawa. All right, thank you all for your messages. I'll read more of them after the break. I see quite a number of them, so we'll get to read them after the break. Okay, let me sneak in Tabuko Kennedy. It says, good morning, fam. The hope you are aware that the 30 trillion debt include debt owned by 36 states and the FCT too. Yes, I did say it. I know the debt is there, but what other things? Are there new debts that are being noticed or the loans being requested? Are they going to be considered as debt? Stay with me. Let's find out after the break.